Would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 15? When you find that, would you stand with me for the reading of the word of the Lord? The blood needs to flow in your legs a little bit anyway. Our section today is 15:22 to 18:27. I will read for us the first four words of chapter 15, verse 22. Then Moses led Israel. Let's say that together. Then Moses led Israel. Let's pray. Our good and our holy God, we come to you today giving you thanks for your word. We come to it with hungry hearts. Lord, we come asking you to take our hearts and make them tender, that your word would be like a seed planted in fertile soil. We pray that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we would see and hear and understand. We pray that you would give us feet that would walk quickly to do your will. We pray that you strengthen our frame, that our work in this world would be empowered by your spirit and as your very own. And God, as we prepare to leave Paisano in the next few days, we pray, Lord, that a word of life and hope, grace would be found on our lips. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And we pray together saying, amen and amen. Please be seated. Then Moses led Israel. That's all the way in chapter 15. If you've been walking with us through the Moses material, you will know that that's quite a fast forward. Now, I know that's a bit of an anachronism. Back when there's college students in the sanctuary, I have to explain what rewind and fast forward means. But you understand that, don't you? I mean, in this room, there are still people who are watching episodes of Gunsmoke and those Gaither Homecoming videos. Some of y'all are still working off of those VHSs. So you know fast forward. And rewind. So we have fast forwarded the VHS of Genesis and Exodus up to the 15th chapter, and we've missed some great things. We have missed God outstretching his hand in Egypt and kicking against the structure, that pagan structure, with all of those plagues. We've missed the Passover. Can you imagine being on the road to Emmaus as Jesus is talking to those disciples and he gets to the Passover? Oh man. Wouldn't that have been great? We've missed Moses leaving and Zipporah stepping in as God wants to kill him, and there's that oddball circumcision story. We miss so much. But God leads his people out through a mighty hand, through the efforts of Moses and the people. And we get to these four words. Then Moses led Israel. I had to make some choices about what I would preach. The Moses material needs 10 sermons, and you've only offered me 5. So you either get to stay next week or you forgive the fast forward. I wanted to talk about leadership before lunch today because there's a lot of leaders here, and leadership is important, and leaders need to be encouraged. I want to talk for just a few moments about Moses' experience as a leader. You see, in this section of Scripture, 15 to 18, some of the grains of leadership, if you think about it as a piece of wood, the grains that run through it, just a few things that happen in the life of a man or a woman when they are led by God and in turn lead others onto God's agenda. So today, very quickly, we're going to run through them. If you take notes, you're going to take them fast. But I'm going to offer you seven characteristics, seven things that occur, seven traits of godly leadership. The first one is godly leadership leads people to the Lord. Chapter 15, we have this great story, and Moses is leading them. And they come into a problem. Leadership is about fixing problems and overcoming problems and facing obstacles and overcoming obstacles. And one of the first challenges they had is they didn't have any water to drink. And you know, in an arid place with no water, there's big, big, big problems. And they came to a place called Marah because there the water was bitter. And God worked in Moses' life after they complained to him. Leadership is about hearing lots of complaints. It's just part of it. And they brought their complaints to Moses, and he did something extraordinary. He led them back to God. It said of Moses, then he cried to the Lord, 15 verse 25. And then in 15, 26, he looked to the people and he said, if we will listen to the Lord. If you're in a place of leadership in your church, in your home, in your community, the first place you need to lead people is to the Lord. Crying out to God and calling on people to listen to him. Lutheran theologian Andy Root has said, we must trust that seeking the living God will see us through. We must trust that indeed. Henry Blackaby famous said to a bunch of Baptists, what we really need to do is find out what God is doing and join him in it. For leaders that are followers of Jesus, our role is basically to help cultivate an atmosphere of discernment, to go to God and to listen to God. Godly leadership leads people to the Lord. Second thing, godly leadership leads to seasons of refreshing. There's this great sentence in 15:27. It says, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. After this experience of the bitter water, they moved on and they came to this oasis. They came to this place called Elim, and it said they were able to camp there for a while. It's like God gave them this gigantic breather. The lines just fell in pleasant places for a while. At Elim, there was plenty. At Elim, there were 12 springs of water. There were 70 date palms. There was shade. There was food. And there they camped for a while. And every now and then, just because God is good and because we need it, God will lead a people to a season in a place like Elim. One of the largest groups of Christians and vibrant groups of Christians in Great Britain are called the Elim Pentecostals. They're a lot like the Assemblies of God or the Foursquare Gospel Church. One of the largest churches, active churches in London is Kensington Temple. It's an Elim Pentecostal church. The church was founded in Great Britain in 1915. You mentioned that World War, the time of great chaos in the world. A group of Christians came together saying that the Spirit of God provides in the midst of a chaotic world a place like Elim. Acts 3, verse 19, we learn that God sends on the heels of repentance, seasons of refreshing. And as we're led by God, as we lead God's people, there are seasons by his grace and for his glory that he leads us into Elim moments, into refreshing seasons. And when we're in them, we better not take them for granted. When we're in them, we better give thanks, because they don't last forever. Which leads to the third one. Godly leadership leads people to provision. Chapter 15, verse 21, and other places, we have this story, chapter 16, that is, of God providing for the people when they needed it most. They had no water, they also had no food, and day by day, God met them with manna, and day by day they were to collect that. Jesus would teach us to pray many years later, Lord, give us this day our what? Daily bread. We don't like that at all. That's not what we want. What we want are bigger and bigger barns. What we want is sub-zero freezers. What we want are cupboards. But God's a day-by-day kind of God. And leadership is a day-by-day kind of reality. And godly leadership reminds a people that God is the source and that God is the provider, and we are to be stewards and we are to be wise and we are to be smart, but that God is the provider and the source, not the cupboard, not the trough, not the cistern or the well, but God. God is the provider, and godly leadership reminds a people of that. Hudson Taylor, who was one of the pioneer missionaries to China, often said, "Depend on it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." One of the great anxieties of North American Christianity is that we're going to run out of resources. That is not our problem. We will not lose our witness in North America for lack of resources. We will lose our witness for lack of vitality, for lack of life. And life comes from God day by day. Means we don't ever get to quit depending on Him or giving Him thanks or giving Him credit or calling Him God. Godly leadership leads to provision. Godly leadership leads to Sabbath. Look with me in chapter 16. That story of giving of the Sabbath begins 22 forward. The reminder of the Sabbath, this wonderful thing of the Sabbath. God gives Israel the Sabbath. Brevard Childs says of this, God gives Israel, as it were, a surprise party. He says, I want you to go collect that manna every single day, except when you get to day six, then get 2 days worth, because you're going to have a surprise party on day seven. On the Sabbath day, you're not going to work. You're going to be. Now, here are people that have been in slavery for 400 years. They had literally been commodities. And now they're having to learn how to live as free people under the reign of the Lord. Now, if you've been a slave for a long time, the first thing you want to do when you get out of that is you want to get from the bottom of the pyramid to the top of the pyramid. You didn't like the whip, but man, you've been imagining what it'd feel like in your hand. And the gift of this surprise party from God cut against the twin demons of envy and arrogance. And once a week, every week, the people of God were going to get to celebrate with God just being the people of God. They'd been human doers for 400 years, and God was creating in them a new sense of being a human being all over again. They get to do things for His glory and the good of others. And godly leadership still leads to Sabbath, because we are no less prone to envy and arrogance in this world. Walter Brueggemann said, we used to sing the hymn, "Take time to be holy." But perhaps we should be singing, "Take time to be human," or finally, "Take time." Sabbath keeping is taking time to be holy, to be human. God's in charge, totally in charge of those Elam seasons, those seasons of refreshing. But He's built in, as Colin has reminded us, these trellises that we are to tend, that we build our lives on. And Sabbath keeping is something that comes up with great regularity. And we need to lead ourselves, our families, and our churches back into that rhythm of waiting for the Lord and taking our time. I remember very vividly one afternoon fishing with my grandfather. I was a young pastor. I was a new husband. I was thinking about the next round of education. I was just frothing. You ever in a season in life where you're just frothing? And it was an afternoon, and I was back visiting family in Meridian, and my grandfather said, "Hey, Matt, you want to go fishing out at Martin's Pond?" It's a place we'd been a thousand times together. And I said, sure. And we went fishing, not like real high-end Cabela Sports kind of thing, you know. It was just not garden and gun fishing. We had the Zebco 33s and a wire basket of crickets. And we were out on the pier, and he noticed my froth. You know, he says, how you doing, Matt? And I tell him how I'm doing. And he noticed all of that stuff. My grandfather, carpenter, missing part of his finger because all my male relatives missed a digit or two from table saws and skill saws. And so he pointed that nub at me, as he was prone to do. And he said, Matt, take your time. That's about all he said that day. And we caught brim and goggle-eye perch and laughed about other stuff. But that was a word from God. Friends, take your time. Take your time. It's been offered to you as a surprise party from the Lord. Receive it as a gift. Be a human being. Be holy. Be His. Godly leadership leads to Sabbath. That's four. Five, godly leadership leads to legacy. If you look in chapter 16 and you see in verse 31 to 35, a story of what they're to do with some of this manna. It said, I want you to take some of it, and I want you to put it aside, and I want you to preserve it and take care of it for the generations that come before. You see it in 16:33, to be kept safe throughout the generations. At the Passover, when they were to celebrate the Passover, it was for when the children asked, why is this night different? You were to tell the story afresh. And there was to be a little bit of manna that was kept there before the generations so that they would know about the provision of God and that there would be a legacy that would be passed down from generation to generation to generation. One of the great questions in the Bible is, there will be faith be found on the earth? And that's a matter of godly leadership and legacy. There's an oddball couple named David and Ann Calburn. I recently read a story about them in the New York Post. This couple, strange couple. If you do this, don't confess to it because it's really weird. This couple has eaten a portion of their wedding cake for the past 50 years. They froze the wedding topper. Many of you did that and you had a little piece of it on your first anniversary. Well, they thought, hey, why 1 year when we can do it for a long, long time? And so they had a pretty good chunk on their first anniversary. And then they decided, freezers are great. And if we're going to keep doing this, I mean, we're going to have some kids one day. Maybe we'll share some of this with our kids and da-da-da-da-da. And so they started eating in smaller pieces. And they did that every year for 49 years. And all the questions that came up, I mean, can you really do that and not die? And they said, well, we didn't eat that much of it. It wasn't that time, just a little bit of it. And they went through five house moves preserving that wedding topper. Now, that's commitment. That's commitment. Five houses, one piece of cake. I mean, it's weird. How many deep freeze had to die, every time the power went out? They're like, go get the cake! Stuff it in the snow! Freaking out. Why did they do that? For the generations. They want to sit there with their kids and their grandkids and say, we were brought together and our love has built this family. Hey, God's not above doing weird stuff too. He said, keep some of that manna for the generations. Keep it safe. Tell the story. Godly leadership leads to legacy. Okay, that one was fun. Now it gets rough because in chapter 16, 17, you begin to learn that godly leadership also leads to conflict. You have this at the end of 17. You have the Amalekites battling God's people just come out of their slavery. And there's this great scene where Moses has to lead people not above or around or under conflict, but dead through it. And it's that great Sunday school story about how God instructs Moses what to do. He said, I want you to go up on that hill with your hands lifted high. And when your hands are high and Joshua's in the valley fighting it out, hill wind, if your hands fall down, you're going to lose. And Moses' arms grew heavy, and you have the story of Aaron and Hur holding up his heavy arms and Joshua winning the battle. I think here you have a beautiful scene again of this rhythm, this dynamic of God's hand and your hand, thy hand, my hand coming together. This exalted praise to God, God, stretch forth your hand and bring forth this victory, and you have Joshua bleeding and sweating in the valley. Bishop Joseph Hall said, in vain shall Moses be upon the hill if Joshua be not in the valley. Prayer without means is a mocking to God. And I would add this to that. And work and means without prayer is just flat stupid. Because God is God and we are not. But in the midst of the conflicts we face in this world, when God has called us to grit through it and move through it and work together through it, it's going to take lifted hands and clenched fists. And godly leadership leads that way with sweat and with the tears of prayer. And here's the last one, if you're keeping score at home. Godly leadership leads to being led. One of my favorite leadership chapters in all of the Bible is chapter 18 of Exodus. This is when Moses has his great reunion with Jethro. Moses' wife and kids been out there with Jethro. They need to be around for all that stuff down there, you know? And there's this great reunion with the wife, kids, coming back together. They go in the Jethro's tent, Moses' tent. They're hanging out. And Jethro says, tell me what's going on. And he laid out for his father-in-law all that God had done. And Jethro was as happy as can be, grinning from ear to ear. He was so delighted. And they worshiped God, and they made sacrifices, and they celebrated. They had a great night. Everybody needs somebody to look up to and love. I tell young people who are in ministry, I said, look, in your life, you've got to have some mentors, you've got to have some peers, you've got to have some proteges at all times. You've got to have some people that you're invested in that really can't do anything for you. I mean, that keeps you sharp, it keeps you humble. You've got to have some friends, iron sharpened iron, you can just share life with, and you've got to have some people to look up to. One of the most important leadership principles we can tuck in our heart is that we always have to have some people to disappoint. And delight. And Jethro was delighted at what God had been doing in Moses' life. And then next day comes around, Jethro's out, and Moses says, I gotta go, I gotta get down to the office. And Moses runs out to the office, and all day long from can to cane, and I can say things like that out here and you get it. Sometimes people in Waco who, you know, got all that store-bought education, they don't understand that. You got all that, but you're still West Texas. From can to cane, he was out there. And people were coming to him with all their problems, and he was working through all those problems with all their people. And the people were frustrated because the lines were long and weren't moving fast enough. I know y'all don't know anything about long lines. People have hated a queue since Exodus chapter 18. Well, there they were, long lines, doing their thing. After the day's work's over, Jethro and Moses are sitting there. He said, son, why don't you tell me about what happened today? I've heard about the Exodus, and that was awesome. Now let's talk about today. Just a common Tuesday, tell me about today. He said, well, you know how it goes. You're the high priest of Midian. You know, people need me. And they got problems. They want me to fix them. And he said, Moses, you are going to wear both yourself and these people out. There's a better way to go about this. He said, this is what I think you ought to do. He said, go out there and teach them The stuff you know that God's put in your heart, go teach them that. Maybe they can do some of this on their own. Now, these are people who have been slaves a long time. They were used to living from the bell to the bell, the whistle to the whistle. Freedom's hard. I said, go teach them. Teach them, let them learn. Grow them up. Sounds good. Jethro, I'll do that. Then he said, start organizing. He said, get you some really good people, some honorable people, people who are respected. Put them over thousands, over hundreds, over tens. You got the Court of Appeals born right here in Exodus chapter 18. He said, and just kind of work it out. The real hard stuff, you know, easy stuff, stuff in between. And the real humdingers, they can come to you. You can be the guy who deals with the real humdingers. But the load is lightened. Theirs and yours. Listen, you don't have to divide up what's good for the leader and what's good for the people. In God's economy, the way he sets it up, he wants it to be good for all and sustainable and healthy for all. Listen, there's one Savior. His name was Jesus. And we are to be followers of this Savior, and we're to take up our cross. We got a long journey in the same direction with God's people. And that takes being leaders that perpetually are learners and growing and getting better at it. And I bet that's the kind of person you are and want to be. So, go get in the line. Remember Moses. Don't fuss. And we'll come back later. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for an opportunity to be here. Thank you for leading us and helping us to lead your people. We want to leave a legacy, Lord. We want our lives to matter going forward and in this pressing hour. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Lead, guide, and direct us, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen.